Nog even. We hebben de mitzvah lamed ches. It's the mitzvah of Tachmod. And I sent out quite a few pages this time. You should have gotten the full Sefer HaChinuch and Chas Chinuch material, and then another 5 pages of sources. Okay. Erev Tov, everybody. The first very obvious thing to analyze when it comes to this mitzvah, you shall not covet, is how the Torah feels that it can command how we feel. We would put a lot of therapists out of business if people felt that they can totally control how we feel. But this may be the first stark example of such a thing, but it's certainly not the last. Torah tells us not to hate. It tells us to love. It tells us not to bear a grudge. It tells us not to take vengeance. Some people might think, I can't help it. I can't help it. This person makes me hate. So I can't help it. I have to take vengeance. I need it. I need to. Now, while I admit that there are some people who will fall victim to their worst demons, the Torah says that's not an excuse. I expect better.
That's the difference between a masa we actually are taking and just the emotion.
Right, so that's very famous in the Sefer HaChinuch in mitzvah, I think it's mitzvah number 12, I think, or 13, the mitzvah of not breaking the bones of the Korban Pesach. Right, that's a very famous title that Nechama Leibowitz gave in her studies on the Parsha called Actions Shape Character. Right, you've heard of that? That our actions will shape our midos and our deos. And those actions are commanded, even as we're young, right? And then the actions themselves help to create a moral network and a moral, just a moral underpinning that we've gotten so used to based on the actions. So you can command people to return a lost object. You can command people to not look at an outstretched hand without putting something in it. You can command people to tithe. You can command people not to charge interest and to let your land lie fallow every 7 years. Will that necessarily create an altruistic individual who will be so in control in every instance? The hope is that it will, but it does not necessarily.
Well, it's actually make him altruistic. He may continue to give tzedakah, but begrudgingly.
Right. We just hope that all these things together will create a mindset of vatranut. Vatranut is magnanimity and being able to freely give of ourselves. But it's not necessarily so that will happen. But anyway, that is the hope, that the actions will shape the character and that this will be the result. So when it comes to Lo Tachmod, the question isn't just can we be in control so that I look at this thing and I'm not going to have a desire for it. I won't covet it. It's a very famous machlokas in the Rishonim over whether you can be in violation of this mitzvah just in your mind, or is it only violated with a maisa, something that you actually do. But even before we get there, the Sefer HaChinuch has a discussion about the fact that in Sefer Devarim it says "v'lo titaveh." Right, so "lo tachmod" means don't covet. Lo titaveh means do not have a desire for it. Now, aren't those the same things? Okay.
That's even a higher standard.
So if you look at Mitzvah Lamed Ches in the Sefer HaChinuch, it says, you see, it says, V'hinei kan b'parsha k'siv lo tachmod beis re'echa. Lo tachmod eishes re'echa. B'avdo b'maso b'shero b'chamaro b'chol asher l're'echa. That's what's written in Parshas Yisro. That's where we are right now. The Sefer HaChinuch, 613 mitzvahs, goes in order of their appearance in the Torah. And there is often some real lumdus or some real kasha you can ask. I'll give you just a quick example. You know, in Parsha Shmini, the Torah tells us a list of kosher animals, right? Their kosher signs, right? So the Sefer HaChinuch includes kosher animals, kosher fish, and kosher locusts in Parshas Shmini. But he lists the kosher birds in Parshas Re'eh. Why? Parshas Shmini also has a list of kosher birds. Right? This isn't answering that question, but I'm just saying is that the Sefer HaChinuch does list his 613 mitzvahs in order of their appearance in the Torah, and insofar as some mitzvahs are mentioned three or four or five times, or at least two times, it's interesting where the Sefer HaChinuch chooses to list that particular mitzvah. Why not list the kosher birds with all the other kosher animals in Parsha Shmini? Right? If you're curious about that, it's because Parshas Re'eh in Sefer Devarim, where the animals are repeated, it lists a few birds that Parshas Shmini does not list. And those few birds help us figure out what the criteria for kashrus in a bird is. So the Chinuch, it seems, preferred to wait until Devarim to list the mitzvah of kosher birds.
But the Torah itself doesn't give us any overriding principle about birds.
No, it just gives a long list. And right. The Talmud, in the fourth parak in Maseches Cholin, gives us the criteria, all the way up to Samach Vav, gives us the various criteria and their meanings over what if you see a bird that's not on that list, right? So does that mean it's kosher? In other words, these are the only unkosher? Okay, we'll get to that soon enough. All right, so our mitzvah is lo tachmod, and then he continues. Ubeparshas veschanan dvarim he yudches ksiv velo tachmod eishes reyecha velo titaveh beis reyecha. So dehu vabado vamaso shiro b'chamaro b'chol asher l'reyecha. Here it says lo tachmod, and there it says lo tachmod and lo titaveh. V'hinei shinui haloshon dekan ksiv lo tachmod v'shom ksiv lo titaveh. Mone harambam the Harav HaMachaber, Harav HaMachaber means Sefer Chinuch, Kan, Mitzvah 38, U'mitzvah Tov Tes Zayin, that's Mitzvah 416, Shnei Lavin. Whoa, he counts two different mitzvahs. Did you know this? There's one mitzvah, don't covet, and there's another mitzvah, don't desire. Huh? What's the difference? Let's see. Right. It says, Chimud hainu shehiftzir bo v'lokach michavero. V'taiva hi b'leiv. Techev shechashav b'lipo over b'lav v'lo titaveh. And in the common mitzvah 416, he'll say more about that. In other words, lo tachmod is violated when you do something. Lo titaveh, you violate when you think about that. But isn't that a little harsh, huh? What's wrong with some ambition or some, right?
Well, if you just see your friend have something and you say, okay, just great, I'm going to go buy it. That's like a great tablet or something. You haven't violated it, have you, Lotaba?
No, of course not. And so I, if you look at page two of the sources I gave you, page one deals with in Chovos HaLevavos about the general issue of being in control of feelings. Right? Ibn Ezra here, you see, Anoshim Rabim Yitzmahu Al Zos HaMitzvah. Many people are amazed by this mitzvah. Ech yihye adam shelo yachmod davar yafe b'libo. Kol mashu nechmod l'marei nov. How could you not? If you like the thing, what's so terrible about thinking that this is something worthy to have? So he says it, he gives an answer to the point from a mashal. When the pauper or a peasant looks through the gate or looks through the fence at the king's daughter riding by on her princely chariot. Looks at the chariot and says, oh boy, do I have a desire to be married to the princess. Does he? Maybe it would be nice for him to be married to the princess, but let's get real, right? Let's get real. I mean, yeah, it would be very really nice, you know, for me to hit a home run in Yankee Stadium. But it's ridiculous to hope for such a thing. Right? Look, this is the stuff that makes Disney popular, is that people have these very unrealistic hopes to become a boy, a puppet can become a boy, a mermaid can become a princess. Everyone becomes something that they're not. Right? Remember in Shul, I spoke a few weeks ago that the most popular Disney movie of all time at the time it came out was The Lion King, because he wasn't trying to become something else. He was trying to become himself. That was a chiddush in Disney. Right? So Ibn Ezra just says is that you're over on lo tachmod if the peasant looks at the princess and says, I'm going to do everything I can to marry her. It's nonsense. There's also a Disney movie about that. It's called Aladdin. Right? That's how it happens in Disney, but there's no Aladdin on planet Earth who gets to marry the Sultan's daughter. Right? Now, look, of course, there can be a case here and there where, I think just recently a commoner married the princess of Japan, I think, was it?
Right? Yeah.
So, all right. It happens, okay.
Well, but I don't think it was like a beggar or something.
Yeah, but I mean, but if they dated for 10 years, I mean, the pauper to look through the fence and look longingly at the king's daughter and say, "Oh, if only I could marry her." That's lo tachmod. Okay. But a realistic approach to something where. Someone accomplishes something and you say, I'd like to work hard and accomplish that as well. Adarabba, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay, got it? So Ibn Ezra's explanation is, and this goes a long way in explaining the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid. Right? The Rambam, by separating the two mitzvahs, lo tachmod is an action, lo titaveh is in your mind. Right, so it's a lot easier to work this through. Okay, so the Sefer Chinuch's lashon is Al titma lomar ve'ech yihyu yiyeh biyado shel adam limnoa lipo me'atayvus el otzer kol kli chemdo shireh b'rishus chaveiro. How could he stay away from enjoying the fine things that his friend has, right? V'hu mikulam reik v'reikam ve'ich tavi hav Torah miniya b'mashi yifshal lo adam lamod alav. How can a Torah tell a person to do something that he may feel he's incapable of doing? Torah is putting a michshol before us. Shezeh adavar enokei lo yimuroso rak hatipshim ha'ra'im v'chatayim b'nafshosam. Don't say such a thing. Everybody is the ability to be in control. Now that depends. It depends. Why when Shimshon told his parents, I've found a woman in Philistia, I want to marry her. What? Why didn't Shimshon's parents just say, excuse me, Shimshon? No. If one of my children came home one day and said, you know, I'm dating someone who's not Jewish, I'd like you to meet her parents. And I said, get out of here, you're crazy, you're out of your mind. Right? And I suspect the child would listen to, you know, I don't know, it depends how far gone things go, but Why did Shimshon's parents just go along with it? So of course it says in the pasuk it was to Toanami Es Hashem. Yeah, God had that was part of the way that Shimshon would wreak havoc on the Philistines. But the answer is because Shimshon was coddled. He was given chinuch to want what he wants when he wants it. He had all the trappings of that type of child. Right, an only child born to much older parents who waited a long time to have him. He's probably spoiled and given everything he wanted, always. Okay. So that's what the chiddush is saying. To me, that these things need preparation. Okay. Right, so the reason for the two lashonos, take a look at the Mechilta. This is the third source on page two. Lo tachmod ulahalan hu amer lo titave. L'chayev ala taiva bifnei atzma v'la chemda bifnei atzma. This might be where the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch got their shita to count this as two different mitzvahs. Right? Kasuv echad omer lo tachmod v'kasuv echad omer lo titave. This sounds now like the Ravid, who says that lo tachmod isn't violated if you just have the desire in your heart and it ends there. You see it? You have the desire in your heart, and then you say, okay, what can I do? There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, it would be lovely to marry the princess, but what can I do about that? Right? But if this pauper starts to make a plan and starts to work out how he can ultimately marry the king's daughter, obviously he's out of his mind, but he's violating his mitzvah.
Okay. I thought it had to belong to somebody else in order to have violated.
I mean, the king's daughter is a single girl.
Right, it's an object. I mean, it's ownerless.
Yeah. It says, Edo Tachmod is Eishes Reyecha.
Right.
But in the Ibn Ezra's parable, it's not Dafka, the king's daughter, per se. It's something that is as unavailable to you as that. So don't waste your time coveting it. Right. But here, what the Mechilta is saying is that the taiva leads to the chemda. And be careful, the chemda leads to the gezel.
Right, but that means it belongs to somebody else.
And isn't it interesting that the in the narratives in Tanakh, look at the four mitzvahs above lo tachmod. Tachmud is number 10. Number 9 is false testimony. Number 8 is stealing. Number 7 is adultery. And number 6 is killing. So when lo tachmod, and this goes back to the shir I just gave an hour ago, when lo tachmod works its way into the hands of someone like Shimshon, who is totally used to getting what he wants, that person will feel that he has at his disposal everything above this mitzvah in the Aseres HaDibros to get it. Right? The vineyard of Navot,
right.
is gotten with false testimony, and it involves stealing and killing. Right, Bathsheba, which comes to David through the starts off as a, you know, as a chemda, and then it goes. But you know, when a king wants something, he's gonna get it willy nilly. In the case of Achav, he's too, I don't know, weak and forlorn, and I don't know whatever, however else you want to describe him, to arrange to get the field he wants. His wife arranges for it. An interesting, very interesting tangent right now. The chief god of the Canaanites at that time, which is Sidonite, which is a nation of Canaan. The chief god of Canaan at that time was known as Baal Chamod. Baal Chamod. Look it up in ancient idolatrous descriptions. Baal Chamod, spelled the same way, Chet Mem Dalet. It's the master of Chemda. Because the tragedy of this story is that her name was Izebel. She was just behaving like a good Sidonite. Right? Her husband wants something, and she's going to arrange for him to get it.
So they elevated envy and desire to a divine.
Absolutely. Love. Absolutely. That's amazing. No greater thing for the human being to emulate than to have power, the power of the gods, to gain. If you have power, it means the gods are shining their graces upon you. And to use that power, it's sort of like Thrasymachus in Plato's Republic. Right, the interests of the stronger, you know, as the right, most virtuous right. thing. So, yes, the highest form of human achievement is to get into that power mode and just desire something and go about getting it. Because it's your lot, it's your destiny. And interestingly enough, that god is called Baal Chamod, because the gods of the ancient practitioners, they themselves were not moral. So what do you know, what do you expect?
It'd be hard to think of a greater antithesis to Yadus than Baal Chamod.
Of course. And Hashem says, and look at, you know, if you consider Perek Nun Aleph, not Nun Aleph, I'm sorry, Nun in Tehillim, do I desire the animals? Do I desire the blood of bulls? Do I desire your... No, these are all mine anyway. What do you think? I have use for those things? No, but you want to serve me the way that the rest of the world serves their gods. So okay, I begrudgingly accept your divine service of animal sacrifice. Right?
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's the name of the god. She was just behaving like a good Canaanite. You know, he comes home depressed. And says, what's the matter with you? You're king. He goes, yeah, but I want this vineyard that's budding my garden, and I really want it. He goes, well, why can't you just take it? He goes, well, because it belongs to a man named Navot. So she says, you call yourself a king? I'll tell you what a king does in my nation. Right? And what's fascinating is that for all of Achav's trespasses, for all of Achav's in just a terrible, terrible devolvement of the religious situation in Israel at the time, he turns Israel into a polytheistic state. The thing that takes his kingdom down is what he does with Navot. Haratzachta v'gam yarashta. Not all the other terrible trespasses. It's that story. Quite interesting. Okay. So he says, the Sforno says in page 3, Yehiyeha devor etzlecha limnimna gamur, ki hachemda tigrom es hagezel, ki inyan ochon, vachamdeim, v'ekchem. I had a chemda for those things, and then I couldn't stop myself. The heart has to have what the heart wants.
That was Woody Allen's excuse.
For sleeping with his wife's, with his stepchild.
Right.
Lately. I think he's still married to her. Anyway, so yeah, that's once the heart wants it, right? And admittedly, this says the Gemara in Sukkah that was part of the previous shiur. Admittedly, when the Yetzirah starts off as a halach, just a passerby, and then it becomes an oreach, it becomes a guest, and then it becomes a welcome, like he's not just a passerby or a guest. Now he's paying rent. You know, he's living with you. He's in your head.
Becomes the Baal Bayis, isn't
it? Yeah. He becomes. He's in charge. And woe betide us. I mean, if a commoner looks at the general's wife, and he calls for her, she's not going to him. But she, if the king calls often enough, maybe she'll go to the king. But Tavoi love, right? So, that's. It's in the hands of someone who's used to getting what he wants, right? Whether it's Shimshon or whether it's David here. Okay. And usually you will stop at nothing to get it. Admittedly, David works out a plan where he could possibly wash his hands of the whole thing if only Uriah had gone home. Right. Okay. So, what's interesting is that the difference between what is given to Chemda and what is given to Taiva. Right? And the heart is considered the seat of love, right? So the Torah says you should fill b'chol levavcha, fill your entire heart with the love of Hashem. And if the entire heart, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is filled with the love of Hashem, b'chol levavcha, and since hachimut hu b'leiv, lo b'ever acher, u'kishalibo malei tamid ba'avas Hashem, right? Ayei ha'makom b'leiv, shi'yisaveh v'yachmo davar acher. Beautiful. The cup is full already. You get it? See, they have metaphors, okay? There's no room for chemda or other things. Now, that being said, there's a very famous Rishalmi Kiddushin that when we go up to the next world, we're going to be held to a cheshbon of, why didn't you enjoy yourself with those things? Why did you deny yourself? So, obviously, you have to strike a balance, right? The key is to be in charge. Okay. Rabbeinu Bachaya says something beautiful. He says, if you have a chemda for someone else's money, you will surely have a chemda for your own money. And then what's going to happen if you have a chemda for your own money? You won't tithe. You'll charge interest. You get it? You won't tithe. Shelo yefrish mimenu maser, he says. Very interesting. So we see there's a whole host of commentaries, interesting commentaries that list only one mitzvah here. They all hold that chemda and taiva are really the same thing. That's Rav Sadia Gaon, the Yireim, the Smag, and Smak. Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, Sefer Mitzvahs Ketanos. Right? And however, the Bahag, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashbats, the Sefer Achinuch count two separate mitzvahs, which is the direction we've been going in this presentation. Okay. If you have page 4 with me, okay. Okay, look at the Rambam, the top, Hilchos Gezeila Ve'Aveda. That's where he puts the laws of Lo Tachmod and the laws of stealing and lost articles. Okay. That means that he acted, he did something. He did something positive. He did something, an action. He insisted on the guy to sell this thing, and he gave him money that the guy really didn't want to sell it. So this person is already over in Lo Tachmod.
Actually, it says he gave him damim rabim. He may have overpaid.
Yeah. He shows how much he wants it. And the Rambam says, Vein lokin al mat lav zeh mipnei shein b'maseh. There's no malchus. Right?
Oh, until he takes the
So, in which case he's chayef gzeila.
But he paid for it. Isn't that there's no kinyan until he takes it?
Yeah, but it's just the thing that made him want to take it under these circumstances makes him violate this mitzvah. Right? And the Rambam writes that he's chayav on look at Yud, call him Isave Beiso or Ishto. Mevchen kol yotze bezeh mishar dvarim shefshalo liknosa mimenu. Kiven shechashav belibo heyach yikneh davar zeh. As soon as he thinks in his mind, he has the money to buy it. U'nefateh belibo b'davar avar belosa seishnem alo titaveh ve'en taveh ela b'leva bilvad. And then it's so strange. If I see that you have this very comfortable pair of gloves and I say, oh, I really want to have that. I'm going to go down to the store and pay $19.99 for that. I'm violating the Torah that way? Nonsense. Take a look at the next source, which is the Malbim. Look at the third line. It says, V'yeshev del ben chemda uvein taiva. Here is the difference between Lo Tachmod and Lo Titaveh. Shachemda hu mitzad hachushim, davar hanechmod l'marei ayin. That's why it's called that. From the senses, you sense something for Lo Tachmod. Ubalarov machmad ayin machmad einehem. That's why the word nechmad l'einayim, like in the very beginning of the Torah, no? Right? Yeah. The tree was The taiva is not on something that the senses partake of. It's not something that you, because of its beauty. It's rak nafsho misaveh oso. Something that the mind, without even necessarily sensing, tells the body, now go and get this. Here too. Right? You see quite often in the Tanakh, the word taiva attached to the word nefesh, but you don't see the word chemda attached to nefesh. Chemda is the body. Bein derech because you don't have a taiva for a woman unless you see her. Right? So that's lo tachmod. Avol hakinyonim yitaveh, gam below rows. You don't have to see the car to know which one you want. You don't have to see the vacation spot to know the one you want. Right? Kimoshi yitaveh laosher shel re'eihu, lo mitzad hayofi, rak mitzad tavaso liyisasher. Not because money is beautiful, but because he has a taiva to be rich. Okay. Well, in Cain, Bedibros Achronos, Hosifla has here al Ataiva, Sheyehye Ashir Kamohu. So that's why Devarim has to warn you also to refrain from not only the chemda, but also the taiva, and they're two different things. Okay. Okay, so look at the last page. Okay. And this is in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. Take a look. Lefichach nechtemu aseres hadibros below tachmod. So he says that the Seres HaDibros ends with Lo Tachmod, and this is so important. By the way, it shows that there is private property. Right? The Torah is not a socialist setting. Okay.
Well, Yovel is... I mean, it's socialist
Okay, so he says, "Lefichach nechtemu aseres dibros lo tachmod lomar lecha shachomed over bekulan." Oh, wow. Lo tachmod is violating all of them. The interesting thing is, have you ever heard that Parshas Kedoshim, right? The Rashi, the first Rashi in Parshas Kedoshim, seems to be asking, why does it say, by the Baruch Hashem, Kol Adas, by the Baruch Moshe, Kol Adas B'nai Israel. What is Kol Adas B'nai Israel? Where do you have such a template? Only one other place, Parshas Vayakhel. I get it, Vayakhel. He gathered everybody together.
Right.
So Rashi opens up Kedoshim by says this by saying, this Pasuk teaches that Parshas Kedoshim was taught Behakhel, gathering all the people, standing up. And the Rashi seems to be saying, because he says, ki rov gufei Torah tluyin ba. And Ibn Ezra explains, rov gufei Torah means that Aseres HaDibros is found in Parshas Kedoshim. And every one of them is quite clear, although it doesn't say in Parshas Kedoshim, don't kill. It does say, lo tamod al dam reyecha, which is similar enough. But here's the rub. Where is lo tachmod in Parshas Kedoshim? And it's not, I don't know if it's counterintuitive, but the other eight Dibros are very clearly represented. But where is Lo Tachmod? Any thoughts? You'd be very surprised. So it's the Malbim's formulation to find all of Aseres HaDibros. Others try also, for sure. But the Malbim's connection of Lo Tachmod is Ve'ahavta Lecha Kamocha. You see it?
Oh.
You have yours, he has his. Ve'ahavta Lecha Kamocha. Be as happy for what he has for his as you are for your own.
Isn't that Midas Tom? Some people say that's Midas Tom.
Yeah, all right, that's I once gave a drash on that. It says, Ha'omer Sheli Sheli Shalcha, shalcha. It's mine, it's mine, which is yours. Zem mida beinonis, v'yesh omrim, zem mida sdom. Right? Sheli, shalcha, 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 that's a tzaddik. Shalcha, sheli, 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 that's a rasha. But interestingly, what's sheli, shalcha, shalcha, sheli? What did the Mishnah call that? Shali shalcha shalcha shali.
Beinoni.
Crazy.
Beinoni Lenny first is what the Mishnah calls shali shalcha shalcha shalcha. Yeshamim beinoni v'yeshamim midas yeshamim midas sedom. That's a real dichotomy, no? So, but the Mishnah calls Shali Shalcha Shalcha Shali Am Ha'aretz. Not exactly crazy, Charlie, but Am Ha'aretz means it's ignorant. It's ignorant. People want to have their own private property. It's ignorant. It's not wicked, because the people who espouse such nonsense usually have good intentions. So we can't call it wicked. But it is Am Ha'aretz. Defies human nature. Of course, if everybody says Shali Shalcha, Shalcha Shalcha, then practically speaking, that's the same as saying, as everyone saying Shali Shalcha Shalcha Shali. Right? Because everybody else is also saying Shali Shalcha Shalcha Shalcha. Right? But here is the essential point is that there is, of course, private property. I have mine, you have yours. But here is the drash I'll close with. Is Ha'omer Shali Shalcha Shalcha Shali Shali Shalcha Shalcha. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That's me the Beinonis. V'yesh Omrim me the Sedom. My nafkamina is that ha'omer, if one person says that, if individuals say that, society can thrive and survive. But if every single person in society says what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and shine, let's forget it, let's just move on, I don't want to have anything to do with you, you have nothing to do with me.
That's the problem.
Yesh omrim. If everybody says that, in plural, omrim, then we're living in Sodom. Otherwise, society can survive if we have different pockets sitting here and there and there. But we need to have commerce. I need to convince you that you need what I want to sell.
Right, but
what I want to sell is better than my competition.
But imposing things like chichah v'peya, the Torah is saying that yes, it is your private property, but you have certain social obligation even exactly. With your private property.
Exactly. It's in order to blunt the deleterious, necessary results of unbridled competition and capitalistic tendencies. Right?
Yeah, because out of human nature, I mean,
Why should he get? I worked harder.
Right. Well, that's also the problem with Shali Shalcha Shalcha Shali. It's also shirking. It proves the opposite respect. I have no responsibility. It's not mine.
Right. That's not a good situation either. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked in any.
It's like public property, so nobody's going to take any responsibility for anything.
Yeah. Right.
You don't know. So you don't have the pay a problem, the lack of problem, because it's just as much yours as it is.
Right. It's a perpetual shmita.
Yeah, exactly.
They pretend to work, they pretend to pay us. Yep. Okay, Chevra. Have a great week. That went fast. And we didn't really cover too much ground in the chinuch, but I think we got some of the underpinnings of the mitzvahs. Okay, we're out of the Aseres Hadibros now, and we're going to move right along. Okay. Have a great week.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.